never filtered, always fun.
I can't control myself. You need to realize this. Yes. So you have to personally make sure you don't come near me.
You have a fantastic body. Do not come anywhere near me.
I am currently in heat, and we are going to have some problems
and
here.
I'm always in heat. Signed, Steve Harvey.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
So I was out for Mother's Day yesterday, and me and my dad pulled a veteran move, was face the TVs so you can see the basketball game.
Interesting.
And he looked up at the TV, and Golden State was down big time. And he looked at the TV, and he said, "It looks like they're going to start coming back." And I said, "Not from this deficit. They're not coming back." I dropped my kids off, I went home, and they won that game.
It's crazy.
Isn't Can you say game over for San Antonio? Like, if you lose that game, when you had that opportunity, you are just bye-bye now. Now it's bye-bye.
Wasn't it the fifth biggest comeback in the history of the NBA?
Were you watching that? That was ridiculous.
I was watching it. I was trying to watch it. Like, Mother's Day sporting events are tough, man. It's really tough. I caught the majority of the second half of that game, and I caught like the final three innings of the Jays game, which was enough to see everything I had to see. Because Pilar walks off, so I'm like, okay, I got a good read on what happened. And obviously I'm tracking it on Twitter. They were down 25 points. This is against San Antonio. This is the second or third best team in the NBA. You're down 25. Now, Kawhi Leonard gets injured. He leaves, and they go on
Dude, I don't care if five starters got injured. That is crazy.
I agree with you. And don't forget, like, people were gunning at me last night because I tweeted that out, that people after the game are like, oh, the Spurs proved this is going to be a tough series based on what they did in the first half.
There was one poll. Can San Antonio Golden State save the playoffs in the NBA?
Absolutely not.
Not now.
No, because of what Golden State did in the second
it's
half.
Over.
And I know Kawhi was out, and it sounds like he won't play in game two.
And Pop is pissed.
He's very rattled, and we'll get to that audio. But without Kawhi Leonard, they beat Houston by 39 points. Without Kawhi, they went into Houston and beat the Rockets by 39 points. So if you're up 20-plus without him, you should be able to hold on to that game.
Yeah,
Golden State is too good. I think that'll end up – I think San Antonio will get one. Because I have too much respect for the Spurs and Popovich.
Once again, do you want another bet?
Which bet are we talking about here? Because I beat you on the Wild Blues one. Remember that one?
What was that one?
That was the one where you were most defiant. Remember that, Noodles? He was willing to put $10,000 down that Minnesota was going to win that series.
Yeah,
and I said, no, I got the Blues. And guess who won?
We need to get the audio on that. Now you're just throwing
what
things
happens
out
is,
there.
No, saying, when hot takes come out on this show, we need. Yeah. I think what we need to do from now on is just point to Mullen, and Mullen presses a button and goes, "Okay, that audio goes into a folder for future." Callbacks.
Yeah, we need archiving.
We need archiving to the point where.
Okay, well, I'll find one of yours then, where you say something stupid, and I'm like, that's not going to happen.
Oh, I say things stupid probably on a daily basis.
All three of us could be. You could call back on all three of us where we've had a hot take or we've had an opinion, and it's come back, and nope, it didn't work.
So you're saying sweep, though? You've got
all
sweep.
Day long. All day long.
I think the Spurs will get one.
You think so?
I think they'll get one. But it's just more of an example of how ridiculous the NBA is. That was a fun game because Golden State spotted them 25. Like, think about that. Wow, what a thoroughly entertaining game. Because we gave you a 25-point lead to actually make it interesting.
What about the Cavs? What have they been off for, 20 days?
They've been off for a week and a half.
LeBron's
they
probably not even in Cleveland. He's probably in Miami.
He probably has been in Miami.
But nobody's reported Boatgate for LeBron whatsoever.
Imagine LeBron went to Europe for a week. Did a tour of like Amsterdam to Berlin up to Copenhagen for a couple days.
Matt Sundin did that once.
During the season?
Yeah.
Nice.
I'll rat him out. He doesn't care. He's retired.
Yeah. They're going to pull him out of the Hall of Fame for that?
No. We were in Long Island and we had a day off and I think the weekend off or something. And I saw him on the Monday morning. I'm like, how come you didn't come back with us on the plane? He goes, I had a doctor or something in New York, and I was like, really? He's like, I took a private jet, went, flew back to Sweden to say hi to my mom for her birthday, spent the weekend, came home.
Well, there's nothing wrong
like,
with that.
I was like, that is a big league move.
That's a boss move for sure.
Because that private jet to Sweden, man, I mean, Google that. How much does that cost?
I have a friend who has a private jet. Just even the gas and stuff. Like there's.
I think Pavel Kubina.
Oh, Kubina.
He had a kid back in the Czech. I think he paid $250,000 for a private jet to take him to have the kid and then come right back.
What do you
250
mean?
$250,000.
Yeah, it'd be $100,000 each way.
Like a mafia easily. Thing. Like the kid had to be born in the Czech Republic.
Dude, I have no idea. All I know is the person that he was having the kid with did not live in Toronto. She was in Czech.
Oh, I see. So he went back to see the birth of the kid and then came back? Is
like
that what you're
baby
saying?
Out, there's your baby, and he back on the bird.
Because yeah. That was like a big mafia thing, right? Where if you wanted to be in the mafia, you had to be born in Sicily,
I think. Yeah, yeah.
So you had to like fly back with the kid. What an ordeal just to be a part of the mafia in the future. Well, and what are you setting your kid up for? I'm going to make sure that you have insurance in the future in case you want to get into the mob.
That's not.
I'm going to do you a
favor.
Dude,
I don't want to get sidetracked right now, but I got a question for you. Where my kids go to dance, there's like these places on the Queensway. They're like called Italian cafes.
Uh-huh.
And all they are is like, I think Italian guys like having coffee out front, smoking darts.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to go in there or is that like stay away?
I think you're allowed to go in, but don't sucker anybody on the way in. You may not make it out.
Just a coffee and a dart. Am I allowed in or not?
Yeah, you can go in there for sure, man. They're very welcoming. Don't judge a book by its cover.
Absolutely.
Don't do that. I'm telling you. You get in there.
You say
we're going to get in trouble here.
Yeah, I was just going to say we're going to get in trouble from the people in Woodbridge and Vaughn and everyone saying like, don't paint the Italians into the corner. I'm married to an Italian.
You're basically Italian now.
I'm half Italian. I would fly to Italy anytime to get blessed into the family.
As I'm saying that, I realize that's simply based on The Godfather 2.
I know.
And I don't even know if it's true.
Yeah. We're quoting a movie. Like, Ace Ventura had things that probably
not true.
No.
I think it is. I think in order for you to be a part of the mob, like La Cosa Nostra or whatever, you had to be born in Sicily.
Are you talking, like, there's mob, like, all over the place.
No, I know. I'm talking the Italian mafia, like, old school, back in the day, like, Luciano type.
Yeah,
you had to be born in Sicily in order to actually be a part of the crew. I don't know. Maybe
I'm not schooled enough.
Maybe I'm wrong on that.
CMB sends the best note in. We need a stenographer. What is it? A
stenographer.
Yeah.
That would be pretty funny.
Somebody in the corner, like, read back the tape. Read it back right now.
We should do that. It's like the court of law. Speaking of kids, quickly, you guys see that Antonio Cromartie is going to have his 14th kid?
Dude, this guy's sperm is... It's the Incredible Hulk of sperm.
It's Superman sperm. I've never seen anything like it.
He had a procedure.
He had a vasectomy 4 kids ago. 4 kids ago, this guy apparently was supposed to be out of the game.
Well, how about you can go to the drugstore and pick up a dome? Like, this? What's wrong with this guy?
I don't know, man. It's quite
14. I mean,
quite the scene.
This
if
guy
he wants the
just...
children, that's fine. But, I mean...
Well, this, I believe, is number 6. So he's on a half dozen with his current wife.
Well, that's all right. At
he
least
can mix in a pullout once in a while.
He's got 8 other kids outside of wedlock here. And I don't know, maybe they're scattered all through the United States. Remember when the Jets were on Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
And he was put on the spot to name his kids, and he couldn't name all 10? He had 10 at that time.
That's right. He's had 4 since?
This will be his 4th since, yeah. Antonio Cromartie. Find that audio if you can, Moles.
Yeah, I remember that. He couldn't name all of them.
This guy can't name his kids?
He was at 10.
Wasn't there a basketball player, Sean Kemp, who had like 9 children with like...
9 6, different
yeah,
women or
something. Yeah. We used to get that talk. Oh, I don't know if you remember that. In the NHL, they would come around and talk about health and stay away from bookies and stuff. And then they would say like... Don't use condoms. Well, yeah, be smart. Like they would say, be smart because you can get yourself into quite a predicament. And they wouldn't cite anybody in specific, but they would do statistics and say, you know, in this league, there's this amount percentage of illegitimate children. And then in this league, there's this percentage. I think the NBA was very high.
What was the NHL at?
Lower. It was lower than a lot of the other big leagues. I believe baseball was very high.
The NFL, it's a 53-man roster.
Yeah,
there's a lot of
number.
Players in the
But that's
the
why
NFL.
They went percentage as opposed to just a mound.
Right, right. Well, I guess shout-out to Antonio Cromartie. Good for you.
Yeah, but if he's had a procedure, that's no good.
Doesn't that scream Cellino and Barnes? Like, wouldn't you be suing the doctor?
Yes.
I would think if you go in. I mean, maybe
for
they make you
support,
sign.
The doctor would have to pay.
This guy's got some powerful sperm.
14 kids. His 14th is on the way.
Wow.
I'm sure we know why.
Anyway, someone texting in claiming he's an organized crime major. There's no way they actually have that kind of course. In what university?
What's that?
Where could you become an organized crime major?
What does that even mean?
University of Life.
Yeah, like DeVry or something. The University of Phoenix. Well, he said he's an organized crime major, and I guess in order for you to be a made man, they have to be able to trace your bloodline back to Sicily.
Oh, there
so you don't actually technically have to be born there.
Who wrote you that?
I don't know. Someone sent in a text. He said he's an organized crime major.
Well, he probably studies organized crime. It's not a class to get into it. It's probably learning about Paul Castellano and John Gotti. I eat at Spark Steakhouse in New York City. It's one of my favorite steakhouses. And that's where there was an incident outside.
A guy got his head blown off.
Well, John Gotti had Paul Castellano, I believe, whacked there. And if you go back to...
Is there like a plaque on the floor?
No, but it's like HBO special. It's one of my favorite. Remember you guys called me a creepazoid for getting into true crime and all that?
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite specials is called The Iceman. It was on HBO. He was a hitman for the mafia, but he couldn't be a mafia member because I believe he was Polish. So he used to hit for all the families. And he tells a story about being involved in that hit. It's crazy. It was one of the most chilling, I guess, documentaries I've ever seen.
It was an HBO documentary.
It was his name was Richard Kuklinski.
I remember watching that.
Unreal.
I remember you telling me about it. I went home and I got right into it on YouTube.
It's scary.
The guy is clear. I'm not even going to say anything because maybe he got out or something.
No, no,
he's an Overdrive fan. Has he passed away?
Yes.
All right. He had issues. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Someone else texting and claiming that New York to Stockholm is $70,000 one way.
There you go.
So there's Matt's.
It's a $150,000.
Dropping down about $140,000-$150,000.
That's
just
fun.
To head home for the weekend. Good for him. Anyway.
Let's get into some hardcore
sports talk. Yes. We'll talk about the Jays throughout the afternoon. We got Dirk Hayhurst coming up.
Are they back into it?
There's a chance. Mary Swanson, I think.
Five in a row. They've won 11 of their past 15. Steve Pierce just went on the DL. So that whole routine continues.
Yeah.
Every
the question
day
is, are they going to go Toronto Maple Leafs on this situation? You remember when the Leafs were in the playoffs and they ultimately faced us? Sundin was out. They had a bunch of guys out, and they were playing unbelievable. Gary Roberts and Alan McCauley were going legend, and they all came back. Guess what happened?
You're talking chemistry maybe getting thrown off a little bit? I think, if anything, you got to give credit to Justin Smoke, Kevin Pillar, Ryan Goins. These are all guys, though, when Donaldson returns, Tulo returns, Martin returns, to a lesser extent, Steve Pierce returns. Those guys are going to move down the lineup, and it actually should benefit them. They right. should see better pitchers. They should have more guys on base. And Jose Bautista, all of a sudden, is starting to warm up after we had that conversation late last week.
You're missing one thing, though, launching. The mental factor. When you're the guy that's kind of a spot duty guy, and you get that opportunity to be the guy, you relish it. You're like, okay, this is my chance. I'm going to be that guy. And then when you get notched down the lineup, you're like, okay, I'm back to being the other guy now. So there's that mental aspect to it.
Absolutely. Like when Donaldson comes back, guess who's the man? It's Donaldson. Guess who everyone right. wants to talk to? Everyone's going to be buzzing about. Guess where he's going to hit in the lineup, right where he used to. Guess who's going to have the pressure of carrying this team? More than likely him. But I think as much as these are great stories because no one saw it coming, I got to give them full credit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that crater that they dug themselves in April is still hovering over this team and more than likely will hover over them for the rest of the year.
But they can smoke the Atlanta Braves and kind of...
Your boy, Bartolo Colon, is on the mound tonight. He's got a 7.22 ERA.
He'll round into form here. I'd like him to step on the scale because I think he's more than 100 over from when he first started in his career. I think he's a buck 20 over.
He looks a lot bigger.
He's a little
even
beefier.
Than a couple of years ago when we really started setting our sights on Bartolo Colon.
And he's chipping away at, you think family number?
No, I don't think he's 300.
No, he was a buck 87, I think, and went to 287. I think he's kissing up on three. And is it three or four families?
He's got, I think, three, but I'd have to double check.
We'll have to circle back on the family tree.
I'd have to go to his Wikipedia page to get a read on how many families are kicking around. And maybe that's what's causing him sorrow.
Exactly.
He's down in Atlanta. The families are up in New York, and he just can't get his head on straight. But Colon's on the mound tonight. But as I was saying, I mean, for obvious reasons, people are focused on the offense coming alive and unsung heroes. But make no mistake, what has really stood out here and what I think is potentially sustainable long-term is their pitching staff has been outstanding. You look back on the past 15 games, more often than not, they're walking out of games and only giving up two or less runs. You give up two or fewer runs, you are going to win a lot of ball games. And the Liriano game, where he ended up on the DL the next day and he was brutal, they ended up winning that game because they somehow got after Cleveland's pitching. Outside of the Liriano start, the past four wins, 7-2, 4-0, 7-2, 3-2. And that's something that can be sustained, I believe. Stroman can continue to pitch really well. Sanchez returned yesterday. Marco Estrada is money. Roberto Osuna has found his form. So the Jays are off and running, and they're back in action tonight again with Bartolo Colon and the Braves in town. We'll get to Dirk Hayhurst in just under an hour. As for the NHL playoffs, game two tonight, Ottawa-Pittsburgh. Not much love being directed towards Ottawa's way, but you got to give them credit, man.
They just continue to grind away.
They keep plugging away, and
somebody
it's ugly,
said to me,
it's boring, but it's effective.
I was just going to say, somebody said to me, that's tough to watch. And I said, you know who doesn't care about that? Ottawa.
And Sens fans, and anybody who thinks that they can win. What movie where he's like, he's just hanging around.
Rounders. Hanging around.
That's what they're doing, hanging around. And that move by Bobby Ryan was ridiculous. That was a top flight skill move. And Olli Maatta, which is, he's usually a really good skater. He must have been at the end of a shift. He looked like he had wooden legs.
Now, who looks slower on a back check, Maatta or Getzlaff last night?
Dude, this Maatta character, he's somebody that needs to be exposed. Erik Karlsson blew by him. He looked like he's got Forrest Gump braces on. And then Bobby Ryan, of all people, blew by him. It's like, Bobby Ryan?
But they need him. Look at their defense corps. Yeah. I mean, they need Olli Maatta to play 25 minutes.
If he's on the ice, like, there's certain guys where you try to expose weaknesses. I would say never dump the puck in on this guy. Skate it at him every time. When you get it in the corner, take it to the net on him every time. Because he's just, I think there was actually a goal in the Washington series where Oshie blew by him as well.
Yeah, there was. That's
and
right.
He ripped it top glove. And this guy's a problem out there, and I would try to expose that.
Well, either way, I mean, they did a good job in game one of frustrating Pitt. Be interesting to see what type of adjustments Pitt has for them tonight. They're not just going to roll over. Like, Pitt will be a force to be reckoned with tonight.
I think in a weird, strange way, this is more of a must-win for Ottawa than Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it is kind
like,
of a
I
weird,
think even
strange.
If Pitt's down two, I think they roll into Ottawa, pick up two games, and bring it back to Pittsburgh for game five. Where if Ottawa can find a way to win tonight,
They're in business.
They're absolutely in business.
Yeah,
absolutely
right.
In business. But I got to give them credit. I mean, you can't doubt them. You really can't. I don't think they're going to win the series. I still think Pittsburgh will win it. But all year, they have just found a way to be resilient, and they chip away, and they play that boring system that is very effective.
I thought Craig Anderson was brilliant. Mm-hmm. He made some real big saves. Erik Karlsson is the best player in the world. I think he is right now. I really do.
Right now he is. There's no question.
And there's other guys who are pushing it, you know, Crosby and like Getzlaff. I know he looked like he had the wooden legs and the hobby horse last night, but Getz is a machine. But Erik Karlsson is that good, and I'm still picking him right now. If we had to give out the Conn Smythe right now, I think it's Karlsson.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would go with Erik Karlsson.
It's actually not even a question. Like, no question.
Yeah, there'd be a lot. He'd be my one, but there'd be a lot of, like, Pekka Rinne didn't have a good night last night, but he's had a great playoff.
God, was there some weird goaltending in that game?
It was.
That was a fun game, though, wasn't it?
It was really weird, but at 2-0, Dave Poulin leaned over to me and said, Anaheim's not done here. He said, like, I smell a comeback. It was interesting, and they get that greasy one near the end of the first. That was a great play by Getzlaff, actually, to get Vatanen the puck wide on that play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's that series is going to be a fun series to watch. There's a lot work in there.
I'll tell you what, that James Neal goal on the power play was maybe the weirdest.
It was weird, yeah.
/ worst. Like, the goalie went down for a shot, and he never shot it. He passed it.
I just assumed goalie interference. Watching it live, I'm like, clearly Arvidsson grabbed them by the face and said, "You're not moving."
Yeah.
Like, blatant goalie interference, and it wasn't even close.
I saw it live, actually.
The replay was bad to watch.
Oh, it was horrible.
You slow it down. Gibson just pushes up to Arvidsson, and Neal gets a puck down low. He can't believe it. He's actually looking at – he could have skated that into the net.
He almost choked. He was like, what's going on here?
Those are the soccer chokes where guys miss wide open nets because they can't believe it's so wide open.
Yeah.
They can't believe they have that much time and it's so wide open.
He skated that to the edge of the crease and just tapped it in, but I think he must have thought something's going on here, like a whistle's gone or
right,
something.
Right, exactly.
Like, you know,
he went deaf momentarily.
Yeah, it was just
missed
weird.
A whistle.
Very weird.
I'll say this. If I'm Peter Laviolette, I'm pulling Ryan Johansson aside and saying,
"Yeah,
what in God's name do you think you're trying to accomplish?"
Yeah. Why?
Why would you admit that Kessler is rattling your cage to that extent?
He didn't admit that.
He absolutely admitted that.
You're dead wrong on that one.
All right, let's hear what Johansson had to say post-game about Ryan Kessler.
He just blows my mind. I mean, watching, I don't know what's going through his head all there, but like his family and his friends watching him play, I don't know how you cheer for a guy like that. I mean, it just doesn't make sense how he plays the game. So, you know, I'm just trying to go out there and play hockey, and, you know, it sucks when you got to pull a stick out of your groin every shift.
How do you read that?
Sometimes, like, you got to tell the world how, like, annoying and ridiculous someone is against.
But I said this last night, get used to it. They're playing to go to the Stanley Cup final. You think Kessler's going to listen to that and go, geez, I better back off this kid. Like,
no, I don't think Johansson really cares. He's playing very well.
He's playing really well.
And let's not forget, Johansson took a two-minute high-sticking penalty last night following through. He knew what he was doing on that play, don't you think?
I think he probably did. He knew who he was hitting.
He knew he was going up heavy on the draw because it clipped Kessler pretty hard. Like, Kessler's dirty. He's a gray area player. Like,
the refs better get control of that series because there was stick work going on.
There was a lot of grease.
Every time a guy skated by another guy, they would just two-hand him right across the midsection.
Did you see Silverberg? He got speared by one Swede. And then Ekholm skates by him and accidentally gives him the knee in the head on the other side. It was Forsberg that gave him that nutted him on one side, and then Ekholm skates by on the other side while he's down.
I like it, man. I'll take that over Ottawa-Pittsburgh, where both teams were like shaking hands while the play was on. I mean,
there was not a lot of greasy plays in that.
There was nothing. There was nothing in that game that was interesting at all. Where this series, you got goals, and now you got hatred. I just don't think that Johansson is doing himself any favors here. That sounded like the kind of comment
Why
you
not,
hear from
though?
A guy.
Why not? What about the refs? Did you ever think of that angle?
The refs know who Ryan Kessler is, though. They know what he's about and what his game plan is. I just think Kessler and now the rest of the Ducks are going to be all over him, saying, dude, you really went on a spiel talking about Kessler's parents and their family and their friends. I mean, it's the National Hockey League. Like, house league.
This isn't
You're not 10 years old.
You don't get a participation badge. This is for all the marbles here. Like, that's why I would argue that Kessler's going to dig in and be a bigger prick to him next game.
I would be, for sure.
I don't know if you can be much more of a prick than that.
Maybe not.
You're right, but, I mean, he's going to find a way.
But it sounded like something someone would say, like, mid-season against a team that you don't really play. Or you save for after the series.
Yeah, you've got potentially five more games against
You're two games in, and you're telling the world that this guy's driving you nuts. Now, it didn't affect him again. He scored a beauty on the breakaway. He was in on the Neal goal, I believe it was.
Yeah, he's finally starting to play like the guy we saw that one year in Columbus. Because when he first got there, I'm watching him saying, God, what are you doing out there?
Well,
if I know Peter Laviolette, he has had a lot of meetings with that guy. and he's finally starting to perform like he should be.
Yep.
We got Jim Leyritz coming up, two-time World Series champ with the Yankees. He was a longtime teammate with Derek Jeter. He was in the building last night.
There's also some other stuff with A-Rod.
The fact that he wasn't there spoke volumes.
He said he had to be in Miami for Mother's Day. He was spotted at dinner with J-Lo in New York.
Oh, I know. Exactly, man.
He's 20 feet away from it.
Kind of an idiot, though. Doesn't realize you're going to get spotted with J-Lo. In New York.
But did he have to be there, though? We'll get into it. But
I don't think Jeter wanted him there.
No.
But we'll ask Jim about that. And we've got my favorite type of beef.
Really?
Golf beef. I got two stories that are really spicing up your golf world, buddy. You're going to like these, I think. I don't know if you heard
about it. Random guy that pulled up and wanted to join your foursome or threesome?
No. I'm talking like legitimate Brandel Chamley versus Ian Poulter. And Greg Norman taking a run at Nick Faldo's commentary.
Really?
Greg Norman?
It's very golf beef-ish. Really? So it's like G-rated and kind of all good. But for the golf world, man, people are freaking out.
Dude, when you're Greg Norman and you puke all over yourself at Augusta, you can't chirp Nick Faldo.
All right, I'll tell you about that. We got Dirk Hayhurst coming up. Duthie's going to be in studio later in the afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. All right, golf beef. We've got some details. Four esteemed gentlemen of the golf world going at it. Tell you about that later in the hour. It was Derek Jeter's big night last night at Yankee Stadium. It got ugly early and often for the Yankees, though. It was 6-0 after the first inning. And at one point, 9-0.
Yikes.
But in retrospect, I think that actually made it easier for the broadcast to just concentrate on Jeter all night.
Yeah.
Like, I flipped over. ESPN had Jeter in studio for a half inning, I believe it was. They had Joe Torre in. And they didn't even care about the game. The game was so out of reach. Who cares?
You can just check in on the game at that point.
Exactly. So it actually made it easier to focus on Jeter all night.
Greasy move by A-Rod, though.
Well, we got Jim Leyritz coming up, and he was a teammate of Jeter's for a while, and he's pretty connected. We'll ask him the details. How much do these two really hate each other?
Well, and you have to think, you're right. Like, if A-Rod doesn't show up, it's probably because Jeter's like, you don't need to come.
Man. I don't think Jeter wanted him there.
Yeah.
They were teammates for a long time. They came up together. They were boys for like a decade before they came teammates.
They must have had like a massive falling out.
Something significant happened. And I'm blaming A-Rod. So we'll get to that in 2 minutes. Well, the Blue Jays are on fire. They have won 5 in a row, 11 of their past 15. And they're still well under 500, which says a lot about the start of the season and how they played throughout the month of April, but they're starting to plug away here, and Jose Bautista really got hot over the weekend. Someone texting in saying he was in the flight deck on Monday. He yelled at Bautista, "Hey, Jose, where's your $150 million, bud?" Bautista turned around, did a big windup, and blew him a kiss back. Since then, he's been on fire, so shout out to my buddy Justin for turning his season around. You know Justin is telling all of his buddies that he personally inspired Jose Bautista to get it back together.
It's ridiculous.
Probably.
Nuts.
All right, let's bring in two-time World Series champ with the Yankees, former teammate of Derek Jeter. Here is Jim Leyritz. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, what's happening, fellas? How are you guys doing today?
We're doing really well. We were just talking about the Jays and how they're on fire, and I guess some guy texting in claiming that he inspired Bautista to get going because he was chirping him earlier in the week. When you were playing, did you ever respond to fans who would be booing you or chirping you from the stands?
Well, you know, fortunately, when I was playing, most of the time the Yankees drew a lot of people, so you don't ever hear those individuals. But I can tell you there was a couple times in Milwaukee, because we didn't draw very well there, that you could hear the fans and the guys sitting right behind the batter's box. And I had a little dialogue going with a couple guys that were sitting behind the on deck circle, and I had two home runs that game, and we kind of had I kind of told them you guys inspired me to do that. So every now and then you can get a couple fans to rally you up and maybe get you going.
You were at the park last night, Derek Jeter having his number retired, his plaque out in center field. It was obviously a really cool night, but the game was blown out before you could even flinch. It was 6-0 Houston after the first inning. How did that kind of affect the mood at the stadium?
Well, you know, I don't think Tanaka got the memo that it was Derek Jeter night.
No kidding.
You know, but I tell you what, it didn't really dampen it because it was such a pretty special night. You know, anytime you get an icon like Derek retiring, I mean, the one thing I was talking to some people about earlier is that, you know, they've had too many numbers retired lately, and it probably took away a little bit of the shine of what last night should have meant. But then again, when you realize it's Derek Jeter, the way he handled himself, what he gave to the city of New York and his career, and then, of course, his speech that he gave, it was a pretty special night.
What was it like watching this guy and playing with this guy during his career? I played with some top-end hockey guys, and usually they're just kind of down-to-earth and normal, but this guy's a legend on and off the field. I mean, what was it like being his teammate and being around this guy every day?
You know, it's funny. A lot of people, you know, have asked them over the last couple of weeks about, you know, what this day leading up to. You know, just tell me, is Derek Jeter fake? He can't be that boring. And I said, well, yes, he is. I mean, that's Derek. And I wouldn't say so much boring as grounded. His mother and father just done a tremendous job of raising a very humble kid. And Derek never let any of that success go to his head. And, you know, for the time he came in 96, and that was, I was talking a little earlier on another show about, you know, there was one guy that wasn't at the event last night that I think deserves to be at every Derek Jeter event, because there may have never been a Derek Jeter had Tony Fernandez not broken his hand 2 weeks before he ended in 1996 to give Derek Jeter that starting spot, because I don't think Derek Jeter would have made the team that spring. So he wasn't there. But, you know, the one thing about Derek when he first came in, you could tell that, you know, the kid handled the pressure of taking over Tony's spot, got off to a great start with the home run opening day, and really never looked back. And, you know, for me, that's when I got traded away in 1998 or 96 after the season. And kid.
And there she goes.
Uh-oh. He's driving.
We were long overdue for bad reception.
We had a pretty good streak here.
Had a really good streak. Actually, we should probably track that. Okay. Like, what's the date today? The 15th of May?
Yes, May 15th.
What will the date be when the next phone call drops because of bad reception?
It's been a while.
If we would be able to call on the file and
That's right.
Miles, go back to February 13th. But
we could archive it. Well, we're going to start that now. Yeah. May 15th, 2017. Jim Leyritz's phone drops. I mean, he's given us a pretty good story,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was a great story.
Talking about Jeter and how humble he was. And I didn't realize that if it wasn't for Tony Fernandez breaking his hand 2 weeks before the beginning of the season in 96, he wouldn't have even been on the team.
Yeah.
And you need that kind of break every once in a while, right?
Who knows what happens after that?
Well, he did backtrack on his words boring because I don't think his life is boring.
I was going to ask him that follow-up, though. If he's so boring, I mean, what's with the women? Like, how are you? At some point, you got to open your mouth and talk to people.
But he did. He backtracked and just said more grounded, which I love that word. And he said his parents were outstanding people. And it sounds like Jeter, by all accounts, is a great guy.
He hates A-Rod, man.
Well, A-Rod doesn't.
Why do you think he hates him?
I don't know. I mean, you hear different stories that A-Rod has sewered him. Like, there was a famous interview years ago. I'd have to look it up. I don't remember all the details. But he sewered him. Like, he said something about how he's better or whatever. I don't know. And apparently ever since then, Jeter was like, get the hell out of here. And
you don't think it was over a woman?
You never know. I mean, it could be. Because as much as Jeter has put in his time,
A-Rod
is not shy when it comes to his own Rolodex.
Yeah.
A-Rod is dating J-Lo. And last time I checked, that is a get.
Well, yeah, J-Lo was married. Wasn't she married to Mark Anthony?
Mm-hmm.
That's a real contrasting styles. Like, Mark Anthony's this tiny little singer, and A-Rod is this monster.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
So maybe J-Lo doesn't have a type.
She was with P. Diddy for a while. She was with Ben Affleck for a while. She was with him, I think, for a long time.
Ben Affleck's had a time out in Hollywood, too.
Yeah, I think as much guys, as you goof
think
on
about,
him.
Yeah, think about Ben Affleck. Like, after Good Will Hunting, pretty much him and Matt Damon started to...
I got into a conversation over the weekend. I'm glad you brought that up, because I made a note of it. I wasn't sure if it would ever come up, but we didn't plan this.
Right.
Which role do you think Matt Damon is more known for? Good Will Hunting or Jason Bourne?
Good Will Hunting.
Ooh, yeah, I love the Bourne series, man. Those are
they're outstanding.
Amazing.
Movies.
Although there was one movie where he wasn't in it, right? Mm-hmm. It was the
Bourne Ultimatum, or
but
something
it was
like
yeah,
that.
It was the guy from the Bond guy or whatever. I think it was. I can't remember his name. I'm drawing a
blank. No, it was the guy who won the Oscar in The Hurt Locker.
Yeah,
and he was in The Town with Affleck. I don't remember his name either.
Yeah,
good actor though.
My buddy personally just partied with that guy recently.
Really.
Said he is
a good
else.
Time.
Yeah, he said he's something else.
Yeah, I'd lean towards Good Will Hunting too, but don't sell Jason Bourne short, man.
Those
that's
are
a
unreal.
Huge
that's
production.
A, that's a huge series. Yeah, it really is.
Maybe we'll fire the poll up.
Matt Damon, I think, is a great actor. I'm a big fan. Both, I think Ben Affleck, his latest movie, That Accountant, I like that movie.
Yeah, but he was in that Batman versus Superman.
Yeah,
that,
the Batman.
Was just an awful movie.
But that's a cash cow. That's what people, they just want to cash in. If you said, hey, $20 million to go play Batman.
Well, I'm not blaming
or Superman
him.
Or whatever.
Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner, yes. Yes. My buddy said this guy and his brother were an absolute time. Like, a real time.
Okay, we'll leave it there.
That's all I can say.
All right, so we've, I guess, turned over a new page starting today. We'll see when the next phone drops on the show.
It'll be Ray.
Yeah, it probably will be. I think Ray's going to call in on his cell phone from Paris tomorrow. And
yeah.
I hope we go more than a day, but you never know.
We'll go on a little bad streak, and then we'll have to circle back.
I say it's at least a month.
No.
I got to say, I think it's been at least 2 or 3 months since the last one dropped. It's been quite a while.
Well, Steph does a pretty decent job of making sure they're on a line that doesn't pop. But
a compliment to Steph from the Noodles.
You don't see that very often.
It's rare.
It must have been Mother's Day over the weekend.
It was, sort of. I did. I have to admit a blunder. So it was her birthday, like, what was it, a week ago, a week and a half ago? And I went to Shoppers and bought her a birthday card and a Mother's Day card at the same time, and presents and all that. So I gave her her birthday present at dinner that night and whatever, and had...
Wrong card?
Yeah. I flew to Lethbridge over the weekend for a PR thing, so I left the card. I went to sign the card for Mother's Day and leave it out on the table. It was her birthday card. So I just crossed out birthday and said Mother's Day. And then I asked her. She goes, oh, yeah, I kind of figured what was going on there. But she didn't call me out on it.
I'll bet you she didn't even open it.
That's what I'm suspecting.
That would be
she didn't even
guess.
Open the card.
Yeah, didn't even open it.
So it's a waste of time.
Well, I had a double shot this weekend. My wife's birthday was on Saturday, and then it was Mother's Day on Sunday.
Wow.
So I did the same thing. I only did one card. I doubled down with the one card. Although, I'll out myself on this, because she found this to be really strange. I'm terrible at writing cards.
Yeah.
Terrible. I never know what to write. I'm not overly sentimental. Like, I'm not Maya Angelou or something. Like, I don't know how to... It's not...
I have...
I'm going to be able to supply poetry here. But tell me if you think this is a weird line.
Okay.
I wrote...
I'm already waiting for this weird line.
You are the straw that stirs the drink in the family. Is that weird or
it's
not
terrible.
Weird?
I think it's terrible. I don't know why. I think
it's not good, eh?
You could dig in on something better. Like that.
You are the straw that stirs the drink. You're not talking about like Crosby with the offense of the Penguins.
That's like an analogy in sports. That's
I know. She stopped like mid and she goes, what?
Like she's like, I have an idea.
Have an idea.
She Eckersley'd me.
Yeah.
She's like, what does that even mean? It's really weird.
I
guess it is a weird, it's a bad line.
I put the name and then I always, as a joke, do my autograph. Like I just sign my autograph with my number at the bottom just to be a jackass. But there's no words that need to be spoken.
You just needed to say, we couldn't survive without you. You're the rock of this family.
Okay, what's the difference between the rock and the straw that stirs
the
drink?
You're the straw that stirs the drink. I'm going to use
just
that
a
on
dumb
air
line.
Tonight.
But they're both
it's
the same thing.
Line.
If Erik Karlsson scores a game winner tonight, I'm going to say he is the straw that stirs the drink for right. the Ottawa Senators.
You should.
I'm going to, because it's really a sports analogy, probably.
Well, you tell me if you think that was weird or what. Dirk Hayhurst, hopefully on a landline. If not, maybe in studio. Maybe we get lucky at 5:10.
Andrew's reminding us the last drop was Brian Burke. Did Berkey drop from his truck?
No, he didn't. No, he almost did.
Not the last one. The time before where he was in his truck driving from Calgary.
No, he didn't drop. He didn't drop.
It was the time before it.
Oh, he did drop, but we got him back.
Right. That was like a couple of months ago.
That was a couple of months ago. You're right.
Okay. Yeah, good thinking, man. I'll take that stretch. You give me 2 months without a phone dropping, I'll sign off on that right now.
We going to go to break?
Yeah.
I got one thing to say to you. You're the straw that stirs this show's drink.
Thank you, man. See, that means a lot to me. I think I would love to read that in a card.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. All right, hour two, we'll get back into the NHL playoffs, and Dirk Hayhurst will join us. Is it time to start believing the Jays can turn this season around? We'll get to that and much more coming up. Hour two up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.